good singing all the way around. That's a blessing from on high. Still not? Try this again. How about that? Good. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in Psalm 139. If you find the place you're able to stand, Psalm chapter 139, verse number 14. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And I tell you right now, every now and again, that's a good exercise, telling people and thanking God for how good He's been in saving your soul and being able to witness to others round about you. Psalms 139, verse 14, here's what He says. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now, Father, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of the Word, and we do thank You for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. Bless, I pray, the Word to every heart. May You right every wrong, save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on being fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, we just got through celebrating a time of Thanksgiving, and let me tell you, we've got much to be thankful for. There may be a lot of things that come and go in life, and certainly there's no doubt there's a few things that have certainly left a hole in our life and an emptiness in our life. But I want to say to you that, if you will, that we have much to be thankful for. In this lesson here, let me tell you, number one is you need to discover this morning who you are. Here you are sitting here in the house of God, you know, with your Bible open, and we've just got through reading the Word of the Lord, and we need to discover just exactly who that we are. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not headed to heaven riding in a wheelchair, patched up with Band-Aids, or hobbling around on crutches. Buddy, I'm a child of the King. I've got first-class transportation, if you will, please. I've been washed by the blood, born into the family of God. I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. We've got a couple of animals around our house, and my dog, I've noticed is that when your dog's dead, it doesn't eat nearly as much. Well, I mean, she's dead, so naturally, she doesn't eat as much as she used to. She's been gone now for what, nearly a year? Do I miss her? Yeah, well, not that bad, but I mean, all right, yeah. She wasn't one of my favorites. What I'm saying to you, they don't have the privilege that you and I have to be fearfully and wonderfully made. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out I was going up the stairs, and I don't know how many there are, 4, 5, 7, 8 of them. They're pretty good steps. And right on the very top step, laid right up against that step, the last one, there's a little fuzzy-looking brown chicken that was laying there last night, all flurred out, and laying there trying to get warm and all of that. And I said, hey, don't move, sister. I'm just going to step around you. And she didn't. She was doing pretty good, too. I said all that to be able to say this, is that regardless of whatever your pet is, regardless of whatever, and I don't want you to break down, go to bawling like that woman over in Louisiana. Her little poodle had died. And preacher, they tell me that my little poodle is not going to meet me in heaven. I said, well, they don't know till they get to heaven if your poodle's going to be there or not. The Bible said there'll be a horse there. Does your poodle like horses? I mean, what am I going to tell them? They always ask you something stupid like that right before church, right before preaching. I said all that to be able to say this. Animals are not fearfully and wonderfully made, but you and I are. And I want to tell you right now that whenever you go home, treat your dog better, because it's probably not going to be on the other side with you. And I hated to have to lie to that lady or give her a kind of a roundabout, but I mean, what was I going to do? And so she bought that, and which there are. Obviously, we're going to come back. There are going to be some horses. I don't know what kind of horses, this or that. I want to say to you that, if you will, we're talking about you. And let me tell you, you are a person different by design sitting here this morning. I don't care if you're a boy, a girl, man, or woman. You're different by design. God intended it to be that way. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that nobody's exactly alike. You're all a unique person, distinctively different. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that there's not two of me. Now, you know I'd say amen to that. I already know that. In fact, it could be said about you.
That's the reason why that we're distinctly different. You see what I'm talking about? And let me say to you that, if you will, is that there's never going to be anybody else exactly like you, because you're an individual, only one of a kind. And you ought to look at yourself every now and again and say, now, Lord, you've made me for a reason, and help me to find out what that reason is and to be able to spend and be spent for the cause of Christ. Now, I want to say to you that, if you will, that whenever you get to this place to where you're looking at how unique you are, let me just say to you that you don't have to be married to be complete. You're already complete. I didn't get but one yeser out of it, but it doesn't matter. When I know I'm right, I just keep going. A lot of people, you know, to think, well, you know, I'm never going to be this, I'm never going to be that, I'm never going to have this, I'm never going to have that. Let me say to you, you're already complete in Christ. If so be you know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. It does not take a woman to make a man complete. She's good and soft and snuggly on a cold winter night. But you don't have to have that. You can get a warm electric blanket or a pillow of some kind, another or none. Some of you gals that are sitting here, and I realize to know that by the time you're a teenager, you're shopping for a man, and by the time, you know, if you jump out there and do what the world does, the way the world does it, by the time you're 20 years old, you can probably be on your second or third husband. You don't have to be hooked up with somebody else to be a complete person. You're already a complete person. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that we need to discover who that we are. Number two is we need to delight in thyself. Delight thyself in the word of the Lord. This Bible says over there in the book of Psalm, chapter number 37, and you can keep your place and look around a little bit, but in Psalm 37, there's a passage over there that we ought to look at just real quickly, and that is that we ought to be delighting in the Lord and in the power of his mind. In the book of Psalm, chapter number 37, and verse number 4, there's a passage there that we ought to look at, and here's what he says. He says there in the chapter, he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now watch this. When you read that passage, if you're not careful, you'll interpret it wrong. Delight thyself in the Lord and in the word of the Lord. And let me tell you what will happen is that if you'll delight in the Lord, he'll give you the desire of your heart. Now, let me say, ask you this here. Have you got a desire in your heart? Yeah, I'd like to have a good wife one of these days. Has God given her to you? Then maybe you don't have his desire. If he gives you a desire, it'll come to pass. If you try to desire and get him in on it, it's going to be disastrous. See the difference? That doesn't mean that whatever you want, God's going to give you. That means that whatever you want, if God doesn't give you, he'll give you a desire that'll magnify him and exalt him. He'll give you the kind of desire that you ought to be having. In this Bible lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 58, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, it's about verse number 14. And as we look there in that chapter that's there, is that you'll find out, chapter 58, verse 14, there's a passage there. And he said, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken in. Now notice, if you will, in verse number 13 of the same chapter, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath and from doing pleasure on my holy day, and shall call the Sabbath a delight. In other words, if you be happy in the day of the Lord, and what God said, God said to the Lord, it'll be honorable, and thou shalt honor him, and not do in thine own ways, nor find in thine own pleasure, nor speaking with thine own words. In other words, if you want to be able to have the blessings of God, then you're going to have to look for the mind of God and the way of God. It's not wrong for you to want something, but if God doesn't give that to you, don't get mad, don't get bitter, don't get down on yourself. Remember, there's just one of you and one of a kind, and God's got something that he's got planned for you at the right time. I can't tell you, in all these years of ministering, I had a lady one time, can't even remember who or what her name was. But I had a lady one time, boy, we prayed and prayed and begged God. He was out on one of those rigs out in the ocean. And he got hurt, real bad hurt. I'm talking about death door hurt. And boy, we begged God and prayed for God and prayed God to go ahead and help him, and he did. And he came back home, and it looked like he got well, and he did. He got well enough to be able to join up with the Jehovah's Witness. And he dealt her so much misery and agony and pain and mental anguish that he brought upon her that finally she began to pray, I wish I hadn't prayed so hard for him now to get well. I got to tell you right now is I'd rather have a daughter that was an old maid than to have some son-in-laws that I've met in life. I would rather have some young man to be on his own the rest of his life as to have some witchy daughter-in-laws that I've met. I wonder why it is that every time that a man gets married, that is nearly about 90-something percent of the time, that the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law can't get along together. God bless you. Thank you very much. I'm glad you're quiet because I like a good quiet Sunday morning service in the Methodist church. I said all that to be able to say this, is that we need to delight ourselves in the Lord, be glad in the glory of his might, and make no mistake about it, the right desire comes from the Lord and the word of the Lord and the will of the Lord. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out there's a difference between my desire and his desire. Now, the Bible said that we're to trust in the Lord with all of our mind. Lean not, Proverbs said, chapter number 3, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I got to say to you that, if you will, that you know what's wrong in the day we live in? Is that in the day that we're living in is that folks have got a mind, crazy mind of their own. And boy, let me tell you right now, it's just full of foolish decisions that it wants to make. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that direction is that which comes from God. If you're going the right direction, you got it from God. If you're going the wrong direction, you veered off from what God gave. I want to tell you something. The Bible said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. If you're on the wrong path this morning, you didn't let God give you direction. God can give you direction. He will give you direction. And let me say to you, look in Psalm 139 again, and look in Psalm 139, about verse 5. We're going to look at that, and here's what he said. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Now, you know what that means? We're surrounded by God. A lot of times people, well, I just can't seem to find God. What do you mean can't find God? We're surrounded by him. And if you can't, you need to open up your eyes of understanding. You need to open up your heart unto God. You need to open up the way. Lord, show me thy way. You know, humanity will cause you to lose faith in God. I know some people right now that I guarantee you, when you talk to others that know them, they say, make a statement like this: if that's Christianity, I don't want none of it. That ought not to be our testimony. That ought not to be that. Now, I mean, there's a few people may hate you and unwarranted, but let me just tell you right now is people ought to be of faith and ought to be able to give you the word of the Lord and give you a good example. And as a result of that, you can find that God-given faith comes from the hearing the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. Notice that, if you will, please, in verse number 7 and 9, down through 9 of our text that we're reading here. Do you realize to know that we're surrounded by the Lord, we said? And let me ask you this, if you think you're not, then where are you going to go that you can get away from God? Notice in verse number 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that you can't hide in the darkness. And the next verse tells you that, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, then the night shall be light about me. And yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. God knows exactly what you're doing, why you're doing it, where you're doing it, whether it be morning, noon, and night. It doesn't make any difference to God. He can see in one time as good as he can the other. And this Bible said that when you begin to look into it, is that every one of us, before we was, he knew about it. Now that we are, he knows about it. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that the Bible teaches us that you're never going to be able to escape the all I see and eye of God or the attention of God. He said, "Thou hast possessed my reins and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." In other words, before you ever were born in your mama's womb, God knew exactly who you were and why you were and what you were and the path you'll be taking. Now, I don't know about you, but I guarantee you right now is it ought to do your heart good to be able to know that the Almighty that's created heaven and earth and all that's therein, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again, but he has not let one thing escape his attention concerning you and concerning myself. It's good to be able to know that we were born on the broad road headed straight toward hell. We were born on that road in chapter number 7 of Matthew. We were born over there, and let me tell you, on the broad road that leads to hell, it's got a wide gate, won't be hard to fit through it. It not only has a wide gate, but it's got every Bible version, it's got every religion, it's got everything that you could ever imagine in this world that could offer. Every sin you can mention being practiced upon it, that's the broad road, the wide gate, and the broad road that leads to hell. But the Bible says, enter in at the straight gate. And for narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. In this Bible lesson, you're going to find out there's only one entrance. Brother David, this morning, in that good, great lesson that he brought, was talking about there's only one gospel, there's not two. There's only one way to heaven, there's not two. And let me tell you right now is, he said, enter in at the narrow gate, enter therein. And for wide is the gate, and then he warns about the wide gate. Now, I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look into this lesson that's here, there's only one entrance and only one way to be able to go to heaven. Now, I want to ask you this here. What is it that you think about this matter that we're already talking about? Because I can tell you right now, God already knows. Look in chapter number 139, verse number 2. Thou knowest my down city. God not only knows when you sit down, he knows who you're sitting with. And mine uprising, and thou understandest my thought afar off. Whatever it is you're thinking, God knows about it. And boy, I'm going to tell you right now, the biggest battle you'll now ever have is a battle of the mind. That's whenever, you know, things are not really going the way you think they ought to be. And certainly they're not the way you hoped they would be. Let me just say to you that your mind can run crazy with itself. See? Now, I'm going to tell you right now is if you have to deal with flesh and the energy of the flesh, I've said this over and over again, and you know what'll get you fellows, you know what'll keep you fellows as straight as you possibly can in this computer-minded world that we're living in? Some of you men or maybe some of you women are going to suck up tight enough to drive a 20-penny nail in your hand. You know what'll keep you straight if you'll be careful, so you can be careful. Instead of you trying to hide your cell phone from your spouse, what do you got on there that she can't see? What do you got on there that he can't see? Oh yeah, let me tell you, it'll finally catch up with you. See, God's already knowing it. God's already watching it. Every man is sitting in this building here in this morning is that used to hear preaching against TV. Well, you ain't got to worry about TV now and all that smut on TV. The cell phone's worse than that ever dreamed to be. You know what happens when a man sees a naked woman on a screen? He looks at it if he's not queer. I'm not saying that he ought to be looking at it, and he certainly ought not to be dwelling on it, and he certainly ought to be looking for it, and he certainly ought not be trying to hide that from the Lord, because you're not going to hide it. You can hide it from everybody else, but you can't hide that from God. Every time my phone's ringing, my wife, you know, and if you've ever noticed, we treat our phones like it's a landline. It's in there by the chair, and we're off somewhere else, you know. And anyhow, she'll say, "Your phone's ringing." I said, "Well, go ahead and answer it." Yeah, it's awful quiet right here and right now, but that's okay. I'm going to tell you right now. You understand what I'm telling you? I mean, it's not easy preaching. It's not fun preaching. It's not all that. But I guarantee you right now, yes, God knows exactly what we got going on. In this Bible lesson that you're there, you're going to find out there's only one way to be able to go to heaven. There's only one entrance into heaven. His name is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 7. Look in verse 7 of the same chapter. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit?" In other words, wherever you go, whatever you're doing, God knows all about that. Now look in verse number 16 of 139. "Thine eyes did see my substance being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members are written with the continuance, their fashion, and as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." You know, think about God's thinking about you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Did you notice in this passage that we just got through reading in verse number 16, all of our members are written in a book. You realize, you know, that the greatest thing you can leave behind is the written word of the Lord. You know why God gave us a Bible? Well, he could have given us a computer, could have given us a CD player or something like that, but you'd have to have a battery, you'd have to have electricity. But I can take this written page right here and open that up no matter where I'm at. Doesn't matter if the lights are out. It doesn't make any difference what's going on, is that I can look in the Word of the Lord, and the Word of the Lord can speak to my heart and give me light and give me understanding. See? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that, if you will, is that the written word. Don't you ever let anybody intimidate you by saying, "Well, just look me in my God-given eye." Well, I'll look you in your God-given eye, and I don't give a rip who you are. But don't be macho and think you can pull that macho crap with me. Your reason you're not wanting to leave a record behind is because you got too much you're covering up. God bless you. Thank you very much. I got a Bible verse for that right there, friend. And let me tell you right now, is that the Bible said that all my members are written in a book. You read over in the book of Revelation, chapter number 20, about verse number 12. This Bible said, "And the books were open, and another book was opened, which was the book of life." I got to tell you right now, God has given a record. Last Wednesday night? What is today? Sunday? Yeah, it had to be Wednesday. But last Wednesday night, we were talking about Ezra over in chapter number 7. And you know, when the king sent him, he sent him with a record that was recorded of what was going on and what needed to be going on, and the best testimony you could leave behind. When somebody calls me up that I've got controversy with, you know what I do? I pick that phone up and I send them a text and tell them, in light of all that's going on, you're going to have to give it to me in writing so I can have a record of it. Now, do you know why? Because I've pastored too many liars in days gone by. Whatever you say in the dark, buddy, ought to be the same in the light, and vice versa. Oh, I don't want to leave no trail behind. Well, I'll bet you don't. I said all that to be able to say this, that in thy book, buddy, God has got a record that's being kept. It's a record about me. It's a record about you. Make no mistake about it. There's a book called the Book of Life. And whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, you know the reason why that in the Book of Life, you know the reason why there were some names that were not written? Well, the reason being is because everybody that's ever been born physically into this world, there's been a record kept by God. But if you spend all your life without the Lord, God comes knocking on your heart's door and you say, "No, I'm not going to come to Christ. I'm not going to make it an open profession." One of these days, God will say, "That's enough." And your name used to be written there, will now be blotted out. And when we stand before God, Your name could have been there and sealed there by the blood of the Lamb for out eternity. But it's a blank spot where your name used to be. See? You know the reason being? God's got a record he's keeping. God's got a record that's being sealed. God's got a record that involves you and I. I wonder why we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed. Now, Father, we want to say thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. We ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we thank you for it. There may be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl. Say, preacher, God's been pounding on my heart's door. It might be about themselves. It might be about somebody else. But, Lord, I praise you and thank you that thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. Now, I pray you'd finish this message in every heart. Trouble those that, Lord, that need thee. And dear God, trouble us that know thee. Help us, I pray, to be able to look unto thee, the author and finisher of our faith. We'll thank you in advance for it. In Jesus' name, amen.